The reading this morning is going to be out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. 3:8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ.
Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. I want to first take the opportunity to thank everyone for having me and my family here this morning to study a portion of God's Word together and sing praises unto His name. I also want to thank or say hello and thank you to our visitors for coming. You are our honored guests, and we would love to have you back at each and every opportunity, and also encourage you to challenge the churches of Christ. Ask us questions and we will seek to give you a biblical answer to all things. This morning before I got here, my father-in-law told me that he was ready to go eat Mexican buffet at McKenzie, and to keep it short and sweet, and you know how that goes, you got to keep the in-laws happy. So that's what I'm going to do. This morning, I want to speak to you about one single word. Although this is just a single, standalone word, when we as Christians have it, and as a church when we have it, it is a game changer. A church that was once struggling spiritually and numerically, once they have this, they gain a breath of fresh air. Is there any idea of what word that I'm speaking of this morning? Any guesses? The word I'm speaking of this morning is enthusiasm. We live in a very passionate society. Being in the South, I know we're very passionate about our sports, especially our college football. I've seen this morning some of us are donning the colors of some of our favorite sports team this morning. I know there's a lot of Tennessee Vol fans in the house, maybe some Alabama fans. If you ask anyone with me this morning, they will tell you that I'm as big of a University of Memphis fan as it comes. However, are we this passionate as we are for our favorite football team as we are for spreading the Word of God and studying His Word? Do we show that passion? I want us to be honest with ourselves this morning. Parents, when our children are as young as 8, 9, 10 years old, we enroll them in basketball camp, golf lessons, soccer camp, football camp, in hopes that they will be the next great college athlete. Are we training them up to be faithful, strong Christians this morning? As much as we're training our shot or our golf swings, are we training them in the same way? Teenagers, we have social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. Some of us have thousands of followers on them. Are we using these accounts and these technologies to share the Word of God and to glorify His name? It's been said that the core problem is not that we are too passionate about bad things, but we are not passionate enough about the good things. I want to look at Paul. We talked about this momentarily in class this morning. Paul, he was a man that was originally in his younger years a persecutor of Christians. He would come into communities, found all the Christians, round them up, and kill them all. Once he was converted in Acts 9, we see that he was an enthusiastic fan of Christ. When he made this decision to follow God and His Word, he lost his family. We see that he suffered multiple issues in his life because of his decision to be a Christian, to spread His Word. Some of the things that he suffered are hunger, thirst, shipwreck, prison. And ultimately, tradition says he suffered a martyr's death for the word of Christ. So I ask this morning, what is our excuse? You know, we live in a country where we're free and we can spread any message that we seek to spread without any fear of any major persecution. So Paul was called a religious freak, a Bible thumper, a nobody. But these are just words. He suffered much more than we will ever have to worry about suffering. As we read this morning in Philippians 3:8, it says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I might gain Christ." You know, Paul is saying here, you know, I went through hardships. I got called names. I've been put in prison. I've been whipped. I've went hungry. But it's all rubbish to me as long as I'm spreading the word of God. So we should have the same attitude. You know, maybe getting left out of a social gathering, or maybe getting not invited to here or there, being called names, it's so small to what the victory we gain in sharing the word of God. My goal this morning is not to shame you or to make you feel guilty, but rather to highlight what having enthusiasm in our Christian walk, what it can do for us as Christians and what it can do for us as a church. So I'm going to very briefly go over three things this morning that enthusiasm can bring to our lives. The first thing, enthusiasm enlivens dead churches. I want you to take a look at this building right here. This is a Church of Christ only a few steps away from my front door and my home. It is the Strayleaf Church of Christ. And if you can figure it out, it is no longer open. It has closed its doors. It has suffered the fate that several churches throughout West Tennessee and the United States have suffered, where they no longer have the members to attend to keep the doors open. It is now only serving as a dusty relic of what times past were. I want you to wonder, what if the walls of this building could talk? What story would they tell? I would argue this morning that at some point or another, the attendance slacked, the sermons lost their zeal, the old people died out, and the young people stopped coming. Maybe services weren't enthusiastic as they should be. Maybe they weren't worshiping in spirit. We say all the time, let us worship in spirit and truth. But when we say worshiping in spirit, we are seeking to worship with enthusiasm and not come in these doors and these walls and just go through the motions. As we see in Revelations 2:4, I would argue as well that somewhere along the way of this church and many other churches, possibly even ones that are still open, the members have lost their love and their zeal that they once had when they were first baptized into Christ, that excitement that they had. There is good news, however. This trend can be reversed. God can use just one enthusiastic member to set the whole church on fire. Not literally, but theoretically. It takes one person to stand up and say, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to spread the word of God. I'm going to participate in services. I'm going to speak to strangers and visitors who I don't recognize in church. And this trend can set the whole church on fire. This is a complemented trait, enthusiasm, throughout even the early churches of Christ. In Corinthians 9:2, Paul used the Macedonian zeal to provoke the other churches to do their duty. In Colossians 4:13, Epaphras, his great zeal for the Colossian, Lacedonian, and Hierapolis congregations impressed Paul. A lot of times we think, why does it matter if I do this or that as far as service? Someone else will teach VBS classes. Somebody else will lead singing. Somebody else will organize a meal. But when we step out on a limb and get out of our comfort zone in order to serve God, people see that. And it shows all the way back in the early church that it encourages and it builds up and it only makes us stronger as a church. However, when we have complacency is when we get in trouble. Revelations 13:15-16 says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would not you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Have you ever heard a fellow Christian say, I just don't want to stir the pot? Somebody can spread the missions of God. I'll leave it up to the preacher. I'll leave it up to the youth minister. I'll leave it up to the elders. They can spread the word of God. They can give the lessons. And I'll come on Sundays, but I don't want to push my religion on other people. I'm here to tell you this morning, if that is the attitude that we have this morning, then the Bible and God has been very blunt in telling us the attitude He will have towards that mindset. We need to be fearless leaders in service of God. And that brings me to my next point. Enthusiasm improves leadership. In my opinion, this is a two-way street. When our leaders in the church, our elders and our preachers, our ministers, when they are enthusiastic, it helps the members stay excited about bringing friends to church. It helps us stay excited about visiting the sick and the elderly, participating in song service, reading our Bibles daily, and praying constantly. On the other hand, when we have enthusiastic, encouraging members, it helps our leaders feel better and want to do their jobs better. When you come up to a song leader and say, you did a great job leading singing this morning, or you tell a young man in the church that stepped out of his comfort zone to say a prayer, that was a great prayer, young man, I'm proud of you. That helps us just want to do better. As we also discussed in class this morning, momentarily, actually it was in the pamphlet this morning, Proverbs 27:17, it's one we've all heard, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We are a team. We are to build each other up. And I was thinking about ways I could better describe this, and I thought, being summertime and doing a lot of camping, being outside a lot, I think the church is a lot like a fire. What grows a fire? Smaller sticks, dry brush, grass, dry grass, leaves. You put this on a fire and it grows. When we are enthusiastic in service, we are like the dry brush that grows the fire, makes the church stronger. However, on the other hand, we can also be moisture. We can also be dirt that dampens down the fire and chokes it out. When we're critical of how someone said something or of the song leading or whatever you have it, it's easy to sit back and be critical, but it is commendable to stand up with passion and proclaim the word of God on the mountaintops. My final point, enthusiasm makes ordinary Christians extraordinary. A famous American investor by the name of Charles Schwab once said, a man can succeed at almost anything for which he has an unlimited enthusiasm. We have been handed the all things religion. All things are possible Matthew 19:26. All things are ready. Matthew 22:4. All things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. We can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. So why do we sit idly? Why is it when we go out of these doors into the world, Monday through Saturday, we turn just like we're into the world? We put our Christian cape, per se, to side, and we stop proclaiming God. But when we're here, we want to worship. The Bible says that the victory is already ours. We've already won the battle. So go out and spread the message, and you will not fail. Enthusiasm makes us stick out from the rest of the world. While the world is focused on worldly desires and passions, our enthusiasm for Christ and His Word should make us stick out like a sore thumb. We should be an example of the Christian faith. Matthew 5:14 states that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So to conclude this morning, I issue you a challenge to step up to the plate if you haven't already. If you don't remember anything that I said in this lesson or from this service, I want you to listen to this. If we do not step up and spread the word of God to this community, throughout West Tennessee, throughout the South, throughout the United States, who will? There's people in this very community that know nothing about God or His Word. They're going about their lives, and they don't know about the sacrifice that Christ has given His blood for each and every one of us. They don't know that there's an invitation, rich, poor, white, black, whatever you may be, that invitation for us to be baptized, wash away our sins. And if me and you do not tell them that message, they will never know it. I said in a lesson I had one time, and someone told me this, and it stuck out in my mind, so I'm going to tell you. On Judgment Day, I do not want to be standing there before God and have someone I know standing beside me and say, "Blake, you never told me about baptism, or you never told me this or that about the Word of God. You never told me about music in the church. You never told me about that." I want to be the one that someone standing beside me and says, "Thank you for telling me the truth." So this morning, if we can help you in any way, if you need encouragement, if you want to be an enthusiastic leader for Christ, if you want to wash away your sins in the blood of Christ and be baptized this morning, we can help you in any way. There's an invitation for you and me, and if you need that invitation, you can come forward now as we stand and as we sing.